these fools, they'll never learn.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Food for Thought podcast, episode
34.
Welcome. We were just discussing how soft Cyrus's skin is.
Sean fingered my stomach, and he said, "I don't like how soft it is."
No, it's very soft. It's like a baby
right there. That's a prime time cut of meat.
Yeah.
Prime real estate right there.
Yeah. It feels like a...
The closer you get to the equator, the more the shrubbery.
You could slice some Kobe beef from your side.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like good meat.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Wait, this is a little too early, but what's the best cut of meat of a man?
Of a man?
A man? Yeah.
Like, if we ate people and we went to Gordon Ramsay's thing.
It wouldn't be. A lot of people say the thighs, but I don't think it would be the thighs.
No?
Oh, I think it would be, man.
I think it would be.
Because a lot of power and fat.
I think man would have some good ribs on him. A good rack of ribs.
I never thought about that.
I do not.
You don't like this?
I do not like that.
Maybe Conor McGregor's butt cheeks.
We're going to get onto those.
Yeah.
We're going to get onto those. Yeah. Hello. We are a bi-weekly martial arts cinema podcast where we sit down with me. I'm Sean. This is Cyrus.
Hey.
And this is Devin.
Yes,
and
hello.
We sit down together and we review a martial arts film. We're kind of trying to keep this going forward. We're going to try the... Going Take forward, we're going to try to keep these episodes a little shorter.
Wait.
And we're actually going to cut out the whole, what did you watch? What have you been enjoying? Blah, 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 at the top of the episode. So what are we going to do? We're going to dive right into the film. So let me grab my notes so I can reel off a few tidbits about the film.
What is the film?
Well, why don't you tell them?
The film is Roadhouse. The 2004 Jake Gyllenhaal Roadhouse.
2004.
2024. 2024. The Roadhouse that recently came out on Prime.
Dude, when something wrong occurs, I can feel you. Just
energy.
There's no speaking. It's just. Can't believe she's in that.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's also a part of me that just goes, yep, just keep going.
You want to see.
Yourself a hole. 2024's Roadhouse, directed by Doug Liman, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Daniela Melchior, the legend Conor McGregor, Billy Magnussen, and Jessica Williams. Stunt coordinator, if you wanted to know, was Garrett Warren, and fight coordinator was Steve Brown. Let's just get into the film. Let's just get into
this is new.
What about our opinions? Yeah. What about our opinions?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Opinions we're going to get into.
Okay.
So, who wants to go first?
This one. Cyrus.
I just know I want to go first. I've got a lot to say about this.
Well, film. For one, I already know. We've already discussed it before, so I already know what our opinions
Cyrus,
are. I want to hear this one.
I think of Roadhouse.
So, unbeknownst to me, I actually am quite a fan of the first one.
The original?
I didn't really know I liked it that much until I just kept watching it on TV.
Okay, nice.
I mean, that's why we did it for the podcast, mm-hmm. right? So I'm actually like pretty knowledgeable about
the first one. We didn't do an episode on it. We did a commentary on it for our Patreon.
Right, because I had never seen it.
We do have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/foodforthought.
So I kind of know it back to front.
Okay.
So watching this with like the little Easter eggs and the homages to it was actually really cool. Well, I have a few notes as to what was kind of switched.
Okay.
Bit long. 2 hours is a bit long.
Long, okay. I can see you saying that. Yeah, I can understand.
This isn't breaking any fucking Siskel and Ebert awards, okay? It's about a guy who's a loner who beats people up and he's a good guy, et cetera, et cetera. We've seen this movie before. It's a fun watch and it's free. That's kind of my two cents.
That's a solid review. Did it entertain you?
Parts of it did entertain me.
Okay. Devin, what do you think about Roadhouse?
I very much enjoyed it. I think it was a lot of fun. I had a great time watching it.
We've watched it twice now.
Yes. The original, with Patrick Swayze, very... very of its time, very 80s. There's elements of ridiculousness in that version. I very much liked this one. It felt, I mean, of course, you know, of course, some of it was a bit silly, but I liked that this one seemed more grounded to me, a bit more grounded than.
What do you mean by grounded?
I mean, so in the original, it just seemed, the original one seemed a bit too over the top.
Okay.
So yeah, this one wasn't as over the top.
Okay.
Which I appreciated. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I very much liked it.
Okay. I fall in the same camp as Devin. But I have a lot to say about this film.
I honestly have no notes to say.
You have no notes?
I have no notes.
I have a lot to say about this film, like thematically, and what this film is about. So I really enjoyed the film. I actually really enjoyed it on the second watch. I saw a lot more upon the second watch than I did on the first one. I think this is, like, no one can argue with this film just being purely entertaining. Mm-hmm. That's what this film is. It is solid entertainment from the moment it starts till the moment it ends. Is it a bit long? Sure, I'll agree.
Yeah.
Also, this film is fucking mental. It's a mental film because it's trying to do two things, in my opinion. It's trying to thrust the 80s nostalgia we have for the original Roadhouse into 2024. So it's trying to kind of capture the essence, I would say, of the original. But it's also trying to tell a very serious story. And in my opinion, this film is about, like, there's a theme in this film that is about how violence begets violence, right? Mm. Jake Gyllenhaal is not a hero in this film. He's a tortured man, and he's literally the walking embodiment of violence. He knows it. The other people around him do not know it, but he's a tortured man. He kills someone, and he becomes this. He knows that where he goes, violence occurs. He manifests violence. That's what he does. And I think it's very, very interesting to see how he develops over the course of the film and how there's various, like, metaphors for who he is and what he does in the film. For example, I'll just say, I think the tree, Fred, the tree, that is a representation of Jake Gyllenhaal and what he stands for. That's just my opinion.
Oh, I didn't go that deep.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. I think there are deep components of this film. I think Doug Liman knew exactly what he was doing with this film. If you sit down and you want to explore it for the themes of violence and how violence can be like this thing you carry with you and this thing that you can never put down, which I think Jake Gyllenhaal's character is or has. If you want to search the film for those themes, you will find them and you will enjoy them. If you want to watch Roadhouse as a giant 80s homage punch-up film, then you'll love it or you'll enjoy it. I think you can look at it either way, or you can look at it as both and get a lot of enjoyment out of it. So I had a great time. I had a great time looking at the serious and deep things. You know, there's the whole theme about the Western as well, and how he's meant to be a Western, his life's meant to be a Western. And I'll get more into that a little later on, but there's that theme. There's just good stuff. I love it. And I'll be honest, lots of people criticizing it for its silliness and its over-the-toppedness.
What are you talking about?
That's the joy of the film. That's what you should be soaking in and enjoying. Other people kind of mocking it or saying it's awful because of its special effects. You're
wrong.
You're doing too much. You're looking into it too much. Allowing...
Especially if you like the 80s one.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Don't allow special effects to ruin a fight scene for you. Like, don't allow
You're that. Just looking for an excuse to hate things.
That's it. I personally think one or two people hit the internet and said, oh, I can spot all the CG during the fight scenes. And then a million people watched it and went to literally did their utmost to see the CGI. They tried to see it and therefore they let it ruin the enjoyment for them, which I think is a dumb way of watching a film.
I thought it was cool. I enjoyed it.
What do people do after that? They go, oh, you're right. This part is bad. And then what do you do with your life? What do you do then? Man, that was good.
That's it. If you're watching a film to purposely pick it apart, especially for something as simple as special effects, I don't think you're going about it
watch
the right
fucking
way.
Miami Connection. Don't watch.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of people analyze films for the filmmaking. How was this film made? Do I enjoy it for that aspect as well as the plot? If you're that kind of person, okay, I kind of get it. You're watching it and you're going to pick apart the direction, the cinematography, the CGI. Fine, I get it. But really, you shouldn't, because it'll just ruin a film for you. No one's going to go into an Avengers film and go, oh, well, that bit of CGI looked dodgy. No, we all love it for being big, stupid
That's
Marvel.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
People will defend the CGI in those movies.
Yeah.
Maybe not Black Panther.
Oh, no, that's a good point. But it doesn't ruin Black Panther for me. I can watch Black Panther. The ending with the really bad CGI doesn't make me go, well, this film's shit.
Which one are you talking about? One or two?
No, the first one with the fight, the fight between the two panthers at the end. It looks like a car.
Oh, on the train, tram,
the subway. Yeah.
Okay. It looks terrible.
Gotcha.
It doesn't ruin the film for me, is the point. But some people will let something as small as that completely ruin a film for them.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that that's not how I work. Yeah. I like to watch films and enjoy them, and even if they are muddied by this particular aspect, whether it's CG or bad cinematography or whatever, it doesn't ruin a film.
I think this film was good and it was fun to watch. That's it.
That's what I like. That's
no, that's you know? That should be on the
yeah.
quote.
Yeah, but that's the perfect opinion to have about this film.
Yeah,
it's good and it's fun to watch. That's all you should think about Roadhouse.
Yeah,
unless you want to delve deeper like I did. But one thing, I'm pretentious.
I know we're probably going to get into the chronological stuff.
Yeah.
But one thing I had noticed, now that we have the official review out, it's good. Yeah. Watch it. It's,
thumbs up, 100%.
Silly action movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I do wish the characters had a little more oomph to them. Like, in the first one, I know who fucking Rick Dalton is. I know him. I know the lady at the hospital. I know who that person is. I know who the bad guy is. Everyone just felt a little less...
Also,
grayer.
I don't know about Gyllenhaal, that.
Oh, I agree with that.
Oh, really?
Where's Gyllenhaal from? I guess he mentioned one time.
Yeah, doesn't he say in Massachusetts or something?
No, he's in Montana.
Same thing.
He has no past.
Yeah. Also,
I don't mind that.
Jay Gyllenhaal doesn't quite have the delicious swagger that Patrick Swayze has.
So here's the thing.
Mystery.
Nice.
The mystery.
Here's the thing.
Yeah. Well, all the coolness.
I don't think they gave him enough to do it.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah. I think he is 100% capable of that if they had given him more.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like in those small little moments where you saw a bit of his personality come out, or, you know, a bit of like the charm, 100%. He has it. They just didn't give him enough.
But is his charm, and this is where the other ideas come in, is his charm in this film a mask? Is it him putting it on to like hide his violent nature?
I think so. I think a part of it is him, and then I think a part of it is as a show,
because he's Mr. Smiley, as they call him.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's interesting. Let's get into the film proper. Let's delve in. I got a whole bunch of notes, but I think we'll just talk about it chronologically and as we go. And we walk in, and the first thing we get is Post Malone and his man boobs.
Oh, is that who that is?
That's Post Malone, the tattooed guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Thumbs down in what way?
Just why? Just put another guy.
Yeah, I would agree.
Absolutely pointless. I get it. It's Post Malone, but absolutely pointless.
Who gives a shit?
Plus, no offense to him, doesn't look like a fighter. And I'm not saying his body doesn't look like a fighter. Even his moves don't look great in this film.
Yeah, I agreed.
Also, he fights in jeans. Don't ever fight in jeans. No one wants to fight in jeans. If I have jeans on and someone starts a fight with me, I will take my pants off.
Damn fights fight in jeans.
I'll take their pants off.
Also, that's better. That might confuse them. That's a great tactic and advice.
It makes no fucking... You have your jeans, you're like, I shouldn't be wearing these. You take their pants off.
Yeah. What if you just started fighting a guy and like you were scuffling like a BJJ style fight and you just started yanking at his jeans?
That you'd win. You'd win the fight. He's like, what? Why? Why?
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
And you're like, no. Let me do it.
Did anyone notice how much Post Malone swears in this film?
Not really.
Let me tell you, He says, and I'm paraphrasing, this isn't exactly right. I'm not fucking fighting that fucking guy. Fuck. Fuck this fucking guy. I'm not fucking fighting him. Oh, fucking K. Fuck. Fuck you. He swears that much in the opening. When he realized it's Dalton.
Yeah. I didn't notice.
Oh my God, he swears so much. Okay. Swears so much. But what we're talking about is there's a...
like an underground fight.
An underground fight club thing. Post Malone is winning, and he's basically taking on all comers, so they say. And Dalton rolls up, a.k.a. Jake Gyllenhaal, and he immediately goes, hell no, I'm not fighting him. Jake Gyllenhaal wins the money.
Right.
Meanwhile, Jessica Williams rolls up and says, hey, I'm looking for Post Malone's character, but ends up spotting Jake or Dalton. I'm going to call him Dalton. Spotting Dalton, realizing who he is, which is an ex-UFC fighter, approaches him in the park.
With a sordid past.
Yes, indeed.
What does sordid mean?
Sordid means...
untoward, seemly.
Unseemly.
Unseemly. Unseemly.
With a bad past.
Yes.
Synonyms right there.
He's got a bit of trauma in his life, needless to say. He gets stabbed in the parking lot, which in my opinion is a bit of a random scene. There's kind of no need for him to get stabbed.
Further.
Well, he goes, you lost me $500, asshole.
Yeah. Further to show his toughness. Fine.
Are you sure you want to do this? See, he's calm. Yeah. That's scary.
Oh, it's... his calmness in the film is incredible. It's definitely one of the best parts in the film, or the best aspects of the film.
He very calmly gets stabbed.
And then he goes and fucking fixes it up with some masking tape. And then Jessica Williams rolls up to him and says, hey.
Let me holler at you.
Yeah.
Come down to Florida and be my
bouncer.
Cooler. Bouncer.
The word cooler is not mentioned, which is very upsetting.
It is upsetting.
Yeah.
I preferred that.
Also, no one says I'm ghost like Swayze in this film, which they should say, but they don't.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
That would have been nice.
Or if he did some Tai Chi, that would have been kind of funny.
That would have been nice too. Also,
no, thank you.
Where's the throat rip?
He does a version of it.
Kind of.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it is.
All
right. Yeah.
Then why
yeah.
doesn't anyone say, I used to fuck guys like you in prison, which he says in the original?
Oh, shit.
Well, I
raw line.
That doesn't bother me.
You don't want more nods to the original?
No.
No?
No. Okay.
That's fair.
I have a spicy nod to the original I'll mention later.
Why?
It's barely noticeable.
Oh, I have a blatant one.
All right.
Yeah, I have the most blatant one.
Okay.
So she asks him to go and join him in Florida to be his bouncer and to handle the bar that she works in. Or
Roadhouse.
I should say. And the Roadhouse.
It's a house on the road, man.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid baby.
Roadhouse.
Don't like that at all.
Sleeping on the boat, baby. Stupid.
Well, first, we have
I didn't mind that.
We have to talk about a suicide attempt.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, the most selfish way of killing yourself is instigating a train.
I was thinking that, too. I was like, how traumatizing for that poor train driver.
Everyone on the train.
I don't think they would notice. I don't
what
know.
What if it derailed?
Yeah, good point.
That's true too.
It's so selfish to try and kill yourself.
That seemed
on the train
like, yeah, that didn't look like that didn't look like a commuter train. It looked like
I
you know,
notice that.
But right. But yeah, but
I don't think his mind was in
the conductor.
Right place, so.
I was going to say
he was like, I wonder how the train people are feeling about.
Did you feel that was a bit on the nose as well because his life's a train wreck? Did you feel like that was a bit on the nose?
No, I didn't. So. Okay. Sorry.
I was just testing that theory out.
Okay,
I feel like he wasn't quite there emotionally when he was like, I guess not today. It felt a little forced.
Okay.
You know, he's like, bing, bing. He's like, oh, that's.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
That makes sense. It is a bit casual. So anyway, he ends up in Florida.
Mm. Right.
He rolls up into Glass Town, or Glass Bay.
Glasgow. What is it?
Glass Key.
Glass Key.
He rolls up in this place
in
called
Key West.
In Key West.
It's pretty.
And it is pretty. It feels very weird. It feels very like a surreal world.
Yeah. Very relaxed. Yeah, very low key.
Yeah. It feels almost like, I don't mean in an apocalyptic way, but it feels like almost Mad Max-ish in that it's so separate from the world I live.
Right.
It seems very odd. But he rolls up, and then did everyone spot the homage to the original one?
No.
As soon as he rolls up.
No.
There's the bookstore.
Right.
Next door.
Oh, that empty restaurant?
What's the restaurant called?
I don't remember.
It's called the Double Deuce.
Oh, is it?
Which is the bar I used to cooler for in the original.
Oh.
Is that?
No.
I went almost a step further.
Oh.
Later, not to ruin anything, but the girl talks about the Westerns.
Yeah.
And how this guy goes into the Double X.
Okay.
The saloon called the Double X. I was like, oh, Double Deuce.
Oh, no, the restaurant next door is literally called the Double Deuce.
Huh. I missed that.
Yeah.
I think I missed
that. Yes. I only spotted it on the second watch. Did not spell it on the first one. But I was just like, oh, Double Deuce.
The Double Deuce.
Double Deuce.
Deuce. Dolphin.
He should have been in this film. Yeah, Sam Elliott should have been in this film.
True.
Colin. And he rolls up to the roadhouse. He meets a girl. Sorry, he meets, what's her name? Charlie.
Charlie.
He meets this young girl who owns a bookstore or manages a bookstore with her father, and she gives him a book, which is weird initially. But the book is about this specific tree in town. Personally, I think the tree represents the nature of violence. I'll just put it that way. I think because it grows in the middle of this road and it shouldn't grow there, but it does. And blah blah blah. I won't go into that too much. And he goes, hey, do you know where the roadhouse is? And I'm here to be the bouncer. And both her and her dad are just like, oh, shit, son.
Mm-hmm.
You're here for the roadhouse? So
real quick. Mm-hmm. The bookstore is Red's Auto Body Shop.
In the original. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
so he goes to, he talks, he learns about the town.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets
set on fire. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I completely forgot about that.
Mm.
Then he goes to the roadhouse, and the roadhouse in this one is a lot different to the one in the original. Nothing wrong with that. I like the roadhouse in this one.
Me too.
It's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And
got that chicken wire, got the live band going.
That's right.
No blind people. It's fine.
We're going to talk about that.
What's up?
Did you notice something?
What's up?
All right. Looks like I'm going to have to pull out my notes. So in the original, the band in the bar in the roadhouse is notorious for having a blind singer.
Right.
Already notorious. But this one, they have a different band each night.
Yeah.
The first band we see in the 2024 version of the Roadhouse, their opening lyric is "You don't have to be blind." That's the opening lyric to the song they sing.
Is it?
Sure
Man,
is.
That's,
I didn't catch that.
You caught that?
Yeah, sure did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sweet sassy molassy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Also, if we want to talk about the CG for a bit, did you spot any of the CGI?
I'll do one.
Okay.
Because I don't know why my eyes were not on the action. I just kind of went to the side. It was on a boat.
Okay.
And there was water getting into the boat. The boat was drowning or, you know, getting submerged.
Oh, that one across from Patrick Swayze's boat?
Patrick Swayze?
I'm sorry, Patrick Swayze. Jesus Christ, Jake Gyllenhaal's boat?
No, it's the fancy boat is going down.
Oh, later on in the movie.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That water was wild. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. So
you didn't notice any of the CGI doubles during the fights?
Not really, no.
Okay, that's what everyone is talking about at the moment. Everyone who's a naysayer about this film is saying the CGI in the fight scenes is far too obvious. I will be honest with
you. Wait. You said CGI doubles?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So they remove one fight and replace them with a CGI double.
Oh, no.
Okay. I will be honest. For the first time I saw this film, I saw zero CGI doubles. Now I was watching it for a second time. I was just like, okay, I'm going to carefully look for them. I saw them this time around. I saw the CGI during the fight scenes. But I tell you what, you have to be looking for it. If you're just letting this film just wash over you and you're enjoying it, you won't see it. Oh, maybe. I guess it depends on how you watch the film, because some people are just like, it was so obvious. Personally, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
But when you do see it, you're just like, oh, shit. Yeah, okay, that looks kind of blatant. But we're not going to talk about that anymore.
Back to Dalton. He's at the roadhouse.
I'm a cooler.
Just relax with the coolers.
Sorry, I'm just looking through my notes. Double Deuce Restaurant. Is roadhouse a common term in America?
I think it's an old antiquated thingy.
Oh, is it?
Thingy.
Yeah, it's, I've certainly have never heard it outside of this film.
That's got to be like a rural country
thingy.
It does have the nod to Swayze. Doesn't Swayze drink coffee in the original?
Yeah.
Unleaded. Leaded, unleaded.
Oh, yeah. He has a Cuban coffee in this one, which is super strong.
Also, that lady is the lady from Roadhouse who gives him breakfast in the morning.
What?
What are you talking about?
In the original Roadhouse, he stays in the barn, the old man's barn.
Yeah.
And his first night there, the lady from the bar comes in and gives him a breakfast sandwich.
Which he doesn't. She doesn't.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the same character.
I thought you were saying it's the same actress. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay,
yes. Too. Yes, same character. So we first night, Dalton's there chilling. All of a sudden, this rabble turn up. This rebel rousers.
This motorcycle rabble gang.
I got it wrong.
Rabble rousers.
This rabble rouser motorcycle gang turn up.
Yeah.
If you don't know the guy, he's the lead actor from the show The Mayans. Mm. And it's funny because he's on a motorcycle in that. He's on a motorcycle in this. He rolls up with his gang of lackeys and just immediately acts like a massive cock.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Massive dong.
Just like a fucking bully. Like a school bully.
100%.
Flipping tables.
Breaking glasses.
Now, initially, you go, why the fuck is he doing this? But it's kind of all explained.
He takes a pool cue from some guy, and I had to rewind it because that guy was the biggest bitch I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
He was like, don't hurt me. He's like, oh! Watch it again. Watch that guy.
I also don't like the guy that's in the motorcycle gang. The one that is like delivering all the one-liners.
The nice guy?
Our guy.
Yeah.
Guess. The guy from... He's in Broad City.
He likes motorcycles. That's why he's in this...
Yeah. I don't
brutal, murderous...
No, I don't mind him at all. I thought he was entertaining.
He is, but he seems out of place for me.
Yeah. It's not the right world for him, almost.
Exactly.
But then,
I get what you mean.
That's the thing. He was just like, he just joined it because he just wanted to ride motorcycles.
Just want a motorcycle gang.
That's all he wanted to do. He was like, I'm not here to
you're right.
cause trouble.
I do like that when he's just like, is there a hospital near here? He's like, yeah, it's 25 minutes away. Like, he answers all the questions. I do like
that. Like, and like, he's a nice guy and he just wanted a group to ride his bike with. Yeah. And then this group got pulled into these shenanigans and he's just like, I don't really care for this.
He's like a 12-year-old who joined the wrong group at school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't mind him at all.
So Dalton basically says, let's step outside.
Which was real slick.
Yeah, how he does it.
Are those your bikes?
Those your bikes? And they're like, yeah. Like, oh, fuck. And they just follow him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you get the scene that you probably saw in the trailer where he slaps the shit out of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that was improv'd, basically, the slap portion?
In what way?
That was improv'd? On site. I think Gyllenhaal's like, should I just slap him? They're like, try it.
Came up with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, he didn't spontaneously do that.
Yeah, that. They captured it.
If you watch the special features that's on YouTube, they do four passes.
Yeah.
So the first time he hits him, second time he hits a pad, third time is just a blank slate, and fourth time I think he hits...
The guy hits the pad?
No.
Gyllenhaal hits a pad.
No, I know the four, but I can't
remember. Oh, maybe, yes. Maybe the other one is the guy. Like, I don't know. Maybe. But it's crazy. And they've apparently invented this technique, this four-pass attempt at fight scenes or punch various hits in the film. Although Donnie Yen did do it on Raging Fire as well. You get a bit of a slap fight. He fucks everyone up quite brutally.
Yep.
Breaks one guy's arm.
Yep.
Drives them to the hospital.
Yeah, he's cool as a cucumber as well.
Mm-hmm.
Drives to the hospital and basically explains to the nurse every bit of damage he did to them, which is fantastic.
Then he meets a spicy broad.
So I'm going to ask you a question. As a red-blooded,
American,
single American male,
right?
Who's the spicier caliente lady in this? Is it Daniela Melchor, which is the...
The doctor.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
The doctor?
Ali.
Is it Ellie or Ali?
Ellie, I think.
Ellie. Or is it Jessica Williams, Frankie?
The Roadhouse owner.
The Roadhouse owner.
Oh, not Frankie.
No?
No.
You're saying that like she's ugly.
She's not, but... No.
Okay.
Nah, son. Spicy caliente.
All right.
Where is she from, would you say?
She's from Portugal, I believe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Portuguese.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, I believe she's...
What they say over there.
Aye,
aye, aye! Don't think you can do that.
Oh dear.
I think like no one, for some reason, no one is talking about how attractive Jessica Williams is, Frankie, and she's very, very.
Where else have I seen her from?
She's on the Daily Show. She's one of the reporters on the Daily Show.
Are you sure?
100%. Google it. See, she doesn't trust me. Or the Colbert, one of the two, Colbert or the Daily.
The Daily Report.
The Daily Bugle.
What I called it,
the Daily Bugle.
The Daily Planet. But two very attractive women in this film, and yeah, Daniela Melchior has very stunning eyes.
Mm.
Her eyes are a.
She would be a great cat.
Oh, because we talked about this.
What?
She'd be a great rat.
A great cat. That? Isn't that what you said?
She plays Rat Catcher in the Suicide Squad.
Thank you. That's what I was talking about. Where have I seen her from?
Oh, her.
Why did you mention?
Oh, I thought you meant Jessica Williams.
No, you were literally just talking about the doctor.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jessica Williams. She's a reporter on the Daily.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
The Colbert Show. One
yeah, no, I was just like, why aren't you talking?
Oh, no. Mel, I told you her the other day.
Thank you, but I didn't remember that.
This is the behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. I have to deal with.
Yeah.
This is about a 2 out of 10.
This one doesn't listen to me. That's the problem.
I patch them up before every podcast because they're bleeding.
Because I've been stabbed in the side, but I don't let him. I wrap it up with tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's Rat Catcher in James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I don't know what else.
Apparently she's in Fast X, too.
Oh, yeah, because
I don't remember.
I put that in my notes. I said she's in Fast X, and I have no idea who she is in that film.
Yeah, me neither.
Do you know why? I don't remember anything about that film.
Yeah, me neither.
I know.
Is that the submarine?
Is that space?
No. That's actually Fast 8. Not only have you forgotten 10, you've forgotten 9 as well.
Really?
Yeah, Fast X is the one where he drives down the dam.
One of them, they go in the ocean.
They're on ice, but there's a submarine under the ice. It.
One of them, they go into space.
That's 9.
And, dude, they're just going to start time traveling.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fast X is the one where he drives down the dam.
Okay.
And John Cena has cannons on either side
of his car.
And he's driving with a child.
Okay. The latest one. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of want to watch that one again, actually, because I've forgotten a lot about it.
2 in Tokyo Drift. That's it. That's all you need.
What? No, that's not true. You watch 5, 6, 7, you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
You'll have a grand old time.
Yeah.
With Statham doing his Statham thing.
Hmm.
He's not doing an American accent in the first
is he? Christ, no.
That would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I never understand. Why do directors hire these actors who are British? They go, Jason Statham, Scott Adkins, I want you to do American accents. Why? Why not just let the characters be British?
Thank you. I don't get it.
Especially if we know them as just hardcore Brits.
And especially when their American accents are no good.
Yeah, the Brits do kill the American accent, though.
Thumbs up. Oh, there are some that, kill it. You but know, then there are some who quite obviously do not.
You know who does a good one and doesn't get love for it? Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She does a...
Especially because when she talks, she sounds wild.
She's a wee lassie.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking saw her choke slam a Loch Ness Monster.
That's right. Yeah, I never understood that. Although I do like that Steven Seagal has a different accent in every film he's in.
Someone told me he liked the Punani. Someone told me.
You know who told you that? Steven Seagal. Seagal. Steven Seagal told you that. Seagal told
you. Oh, right.
I tell you what, if there's any man in the world that loves the Punani,
it's Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
Man.
Yeah. Oh dear. Have you ever seen a sex scene with Steven Seagal in?
Gross.
Mm.
I watched a film and he has a sex scene with a girl. She takes her clothes off and he just keeps a leather jacket and all his clothes on.
Gross.
I find it quite funny. It was in a film called like Urban Warfare or something. It was something like hard to fight or something.
Hard to fight.
Okay, back to the movie.
I'm having fun. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
yes. So, where were we?
Beats him up. Hospital.
Yeah, the hospital and meaning the doctor.
Now he's on the boat.
He sleeps on the boat. I'm on a boat.
Crocodile.
On a boat, man.
There's a crocodile somewhere. He wakes up and says, oh, I had weird boat dreams. No, he didn't. He just remembered something from his past.
Maybe it helped stir him up.
Yeah.
The boat stirred up the memories.
Weird boat dreams, was it? I'm not going to go, oh, I had a weird dream last night where I just remembered what I ate last week.
Yeah.
Picking apart this film, baby.
Picking apart, baby.
So, why do Americans not know what a drawer is?
What do you mean?
He goes, Jake Gyllenhaal, Dalton goes,
let's I don't know what that was about.
And that guy goes, what the hell's a drawer? And the other guy goes, oh, it's like a tie.
And he's like, what?
I thought that was just meant, to imply that this person wasn't the brightest.
Choose that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
I should say lugubrious.
Yeah, I know.
Also, Jessica Williams is great at that moment.
Oh, 100%. I enjoyed her very much.
She goes, is there a hospital around here? She's like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, who gives a fuck? Yeah.
She's really good.
Can I borrow your car to take them to the hospital? Fuck no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's see. Also, what do Dalton's tattoos mean? He has a bunch of lines on him.
Oh.
Right here. Yeah, but there's there's four more on his body as well.
Yeah.
Straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
Straight bars.
Straight fire. Western trope, blah, blah, blah. I had some strange dreams, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, we should go into what his dreams are about. Devin?
His dreams are about, I guess, assuming the... assuming the last UFC match that he had where he so he killed that guy.
Oh yeah.
That's the bit. They don't specifically say that.
I did not like that.
Why?
I wanted them to be specific. I did not like that.
What did he like specifically what happened to this man?
What do you mean specific?
They never said that he killed them.
Yeah. I know it's implied. I know we all get it, but I just want them to like.
What I don't like is that they don't imply that they're actually friends until the guy goes, "Hey, you guys were friends."
Oh yeah, because it didn't seem like it, and so I thought that was I thought that was nice.
Is it tete or tete? Yeah, to say it.
Tate.
Is it Tate?
No, it's Tet.
Oh, I was close. Mm-hmm. In the old tete-a-tete between them.
Yeah. Tete. Right, so I thought it was pointless for him to...
Captain Ireland.
Oh, fucking hell.
So I thought it was pointless to make them friends. Or supposedly friends, when nothing in these flashbacks, about the relationship seemed friendly.
Yeah.
But anyway, but basically he's remembering that fight, and yeah, I guess how he... supposedly then killed that guy.
We get introduced to the villain, and I fucking love that they played this villain up so much. That he's getting a shave on a shaky boat, and he's blaming the captain. He goes and punches the captain in the face. I love how cartoonish this film is at times.
Yeah.
It's just like so ridiculous.
Yeah, I enjoy that very much. This dude, just this rich kind of, just this douchebaggy, asshole type dude living on a yacht.
He's impervious to pain because he's rich, or he can't die because he's rich.
Yeah,
that's kind of
or
basically no one can fuck with him.
He's like flying too close to the sun. He's getting a straight shave on a boat. Choppy.
So the way I took it is he's on a boat. He knows that the water is choppy, but apparently he wanted the shave right then and there, and he's not gonna not get a shave because he expects. His, the people that he's paying to do a job. He expects them to do the job no matter what the circumstance is, even though the circumstance is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. He expects the captain.
He expects,
still.
Right. He expects it. So he's just. He expects it to be done no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah.
And he won't be inconvenienced.
But many people would be like, oh my God, this is so cheesy. That's the point. He's a ridiculous villain.
I think he could have played it up. I would have liked him to take it another level.
Taking it up a notch.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like, who's insane? Yes. Who's an insane villain?
But then you can't...
Gary Oldman.
Nick Cage.
But then with...
Sure.
But then if you're... But then with Connor? Is it Connor?
It's Connor McGregor.
Connor McGregor in the mix. Yeah, he's the one who's playing it.
Right now.
So that guy couldn't... He can't, There's only so far that he can take it.
They talk about contacting a guy. Who was Conor McGregor? Knox.
Yeah.
They talk about contacting
a guy. So basically, you're jumping ahead.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. Right. So basically, that's when we find out that the rich asshole dude, Brent, is that his name?
Yeah, Brent.
Brent. Whatever the fuck. He hired the motorcycle gang to mess with the Roadhouse to try to get them to leave. And... they're not doing their job, and now there's a bouncer. And so, but he's not getting the job done. So Brant's father, who's we never see, but we know that he's actually in control of whatever it is that Brant is trying to do, and in jail, right? He contacts Conor McGregor and is like, hey, my son is fucking this up. You need to go and handle this for me.
And then we get Conor McGregor's intro. We get the intro to Knox.
Which
who is first? There's going to be a question mark behind this. In Italy, question mark?
Sure.
I would say, yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yes, he's in Italy, 100%.
He is sleeping with a woman.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Sleeping with someone else's wife.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And he jumps off the balcony. Right. In the nude. Mm. Yeah. Okay, naked.
Right. He got caught. The husband came home yelling at him. So he...
And he says, arrivederci.
Right.
To the woman.
With a thick Irish accent. It's great.
Then we realize he's clothesless.
Yeah.
And he's got his little butt cheeks out.
Yep.
I promised on Twitter that I would ask this question. I love my wife, but I have to ask you a very tough question.
Yes.
On a scale from 1 to 10. Conor McGregor's buttocks. 10 being excellent and scrumptious. 1 being put those in the bin.
Conor
McGregor's butt.
And you're a butt.
I
woman.
Guess.
You will handle
maybe
butt.
Like,
you guys admitted that.
I'd say maybe
a butt. You like a butt, don't you?
I'd say maybe a 7 or an 8, maybe. I
don't mind that question. She just wanted an answer.
Yeah, sure.
A 7?
Yeah, maybe 7 or 8.
That's solid. That's a
I think so.
I thought he was a bit. I thought he was a bit broad, and then his butt was a bit scrawny.
Well, sure, but you didn't. You didn't say to rate his body as a whole. You were just talking
just
about
his butt. That's wise.
Yeah, his. But then I suppose, yeah, his proportions. Yes,
but you take a bite of that Irish apple.
I guess
one of those who keep the doctor away.
That's right.
But yeah. That's right. So yeah, pumping. So he goes, you know, strutting into
that reference you don't get.
Wait a minute, what did you say?
Scrumping.
No.
Oh, it's the act of stealing apples.
Fuck. Oh, really?
Yeah. It might have even come from Ireland. I'm not sure, but scrumping is the act. That's why when you steal apples and ferment them and turn them into a very strong alcoholic cider, it's called scrumpy. Scrumpy Jack. That's a cider in the UK.
Holy shit!
You type in scrumping. I bet it's the act of stealing apples.
What is so specific?
I tell you what, I've been scrumping.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know.
Fruit such as apples from trees.
Fruit.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just apples.
That makes me feel better, because if there's a word for stealing every single thing, that's a lot.
I used to go scrumping. A local hotel had a giant apple tree in their front lawn, and they would say, don't you fucking touch our apples. We didn't listen. We rolled up, got a fucking bag full of apples.
Not a professor, meet the scrumps over here.
That's right, fucking Forrest Scrump. That's what I called myself, Forrest Scrump, when I was stealing them.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I used to go scrumping with loads of apples, take them home. I got apples for days.
Millions of apples. Mm-hmm. Apples for me. That's a good song.
Anyway, scrumping.
Peaches, but...
Speaking of peaches, Conor McGregor.
He's got two of them.
So he has the most ludicrous entrance ever. So he's naked, he steals a guy's jacket, and honestly, his first scene with him on the phone is the worst example of his acting, I think. It is so
terrible. Oh, I feel like that was like post like ADR. Like,
oh, you think?
It did, or I don't know, but it sounded weird.
Is that when he's in the nude?
Oh, it's awful.
All of his lines are put in post. It sounds like it.
Post.
You think? Oh, I didn't. I thought that phone call was, but
I can understand what he said a few times. I was just like, what the hell did he just say?
Yeah, I could pick up a little bit of it, and yeah, it sounded off. But
Alton!
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Same every single time. You're not going to change it?
Yeah, got it.
Dalton. Dalton.
Dalton.
Dalton.
Yeah.
Not Dalton!
Yeah, exactly.
Dalton? Nothing? Yeah.
Dalton.
You know what I was thinking, or maybe I wanted him to do, or it reminded me of, you didn't see Troy, though.
I've never seen Troy.
No. He goes,
you're really?
Achilles! Oh, no. What does he say? Hector! He goes, Hector! And he loses his mind. He's like losing his voice almost.
Okay.
It.
But he changes it every time?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a feeling.
Hector!
Conor McGregor rolled up to the set and someone had given him a script. They'd given him a script beforehand, but they'd given him the wrong script, and that it's a horror film where he plays an evil leprechaun. And he'd gone, okay, I've read the script. And he's gone, do you want me to do the leprechaun now? They went, hmm?
What?
And he went, look, I'll give you my crazy leprechaun. And he gave it them. And they went, just let him do it. Just let him do it. He's bizarre in this film. Truly bizarre. But my God.
Second time around, I enjoyed him more.
Oh my God, I loved
it. Because it was absurd.
Why'd you watch it twice?
Well, we watched it when it first came out. And
we
then
watched it for fun.
And then that's when we decided, hey, maybe we should do this for the podcast. But we were, yeah.
When you decided? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sorry.
This boy.
When he decided.
Boy over right here.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, we wanted to take
and
notes.
And then we wanted to, yeah.
So I took notes on the second time. But yeah, Conor McGregor is wildly fun in this film. If you're sitting there and hating this film for Conor McGregor, you need to reassess your life.
This man is on steroids, dude.
I think this man was having the time of his life.
I think he was like
enjoying himself.
Take the essence of the old 80s almost at Point Break Roadhouse. I'm gonna do a lot of cocaine and a lot of steroids,
man.
And he's just gonna have a whale of a time.
Jake Gyllenhaal looks more shredded than a julienne salad, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's got a beautiful body.
I hope someone knows that line.
Is that some from something?
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't know that.
Say
one.
It again.
More shredded than a julienne salad, man.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's always sunny.
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, he put in the work, and then, yeah.
He's probably on steroids, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
He has veins in his shoulders. Human beings do not. It's simple. It's simple. If you go, you know, you said, I think on the uncut, trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
If you have veins in your belly,
yeah.
If you have veins on your belly, you're on fucking steroids, man.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, but Conor McGregor, like, I think everyone knows he's on steroids.
I think he ate the rest of Jake Gyllenhaal's steroids.
Yeah. he went into his trade. He was just going, Dalton! And he took his steroids.
And he's like, it's my pot of gold. He's just eating steroids. Like Winnie the Pooh. Just...
You're coming scrumping with me. Yeah, so Conor McGregor's just,
Dalton! Say it like that.
It's great.
Oh, God.
He's a wonderful, wonderful character, Conor McGregor. In this.
Yeah.
Simple, just muscle. Just yeah. Dumb, just reckless muscle.
Yeah.
Nothing, don't worry about it.
And you know what? Give him credit. Doesn't give a fuck about getting his ass out.
Yeah, good for him.
Which is
yeah.
Great. In the opening scene, and he's not opening scene, but the first scene he's in.
Imagine great. Being a fighter where you beat people up in real life for money, and then your first movie opportunity, someone says, get your ass cheeks out.
Yeah, right?
I wonder if his kibbles and bits were out.
I don't know.
You probably.
I doubt it. Although he's got enough fucking confidence. Yeah.
Fighters are naked in front of dudes all the time.
Notorious.
So yeah.
Notorious Knox.
What did you think about the date that they go on?
Oh, I thought that was lovely.
Would you like to go on that date?
Yeah.
That's such a lady date.
A lady
date? Oh, but she set it up for him.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She like reversed it.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm hot, let's hop on the speedboat and yeah, just go out to the sandbar in the middle of the ocean.
However, that crocodile's.
Oh, yeah.
That crocodile.
It's not in the ocean.
They're on the ocean. It's an ocean boat.
Not that far out, though. The crocodile wouldn't go that far out.
I don't think crocodiles go that far.
Crocodile isn't a shark. You've never heard of a shark.
Oh, gator. Crocodile.
Wait,
what are you saying?
Just say.
I don't understand. What are you trying to say? You're just naming animals.
Are you saying that you're worried that the crocodile yeah. would have come out to where they were on that sandbar?
Wow,
they were very far out.
They were very far out.
I need to see somebody. You got a brain scan? Can you set me up with one of those? So we were talking beforehand. We go crocodiles, Florida.
Yes.
Sorry, no. Gators, Florida.
Yeah.
Oh,
the gators. Yes. It's gators, then gators, gators.
Yes, yes.
But this is a croc.
But then yes. Yeah. But apparently. But apparently yeah. There are crocodiles.
They don't know that we had that discussion.
But, yeah. Apparently. So yeah. So that was. Oh, yeah, we didn't say that. So.
Oh, when did we say that?
When were we talking about that? Was that on? Whenever. It doesn't matter. Anyway. So back to. So regarding that conversation.
So confused. Yeah. Go on. Carry
on. Conversation. The first time me and Sean watched this, and there's a scene where Dalton is being warned about a crocodile. How the crocodile ate the boatmaster's. Dog, and I was, and they kept saying crocodile, and I was just like, what the fuck are they talking about? There are gators in Florida, not crocodiles. And then so Sean googled it. Apparently there are crocodiles in Florida, but why don't they ever get talked about?
So one of us said it more correctly. Me, or Devin?
What, her just explaining everything, or you going, Gator, crocodile?
And then, like, you know, crocodile? One of us said it more articulately.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and so I guess.
For making way more sense.
So, so did you bring that up because we passed over how that guy got eaten? So, yeah.
Oh, that's why. Yeah.
I did not like that.
So, why?
I thought it was. It changed the tone and it was weird.
No.
It took me out.
No, I didn't mind that at all.
Oh, no.
I was like, whoa, we're doing that?
It's yeah.
Like a silly.
Well, yeah, because, like, what would have been the.
So I bet you didn't like it later on where fucking Dalton shoots the fucking guy in the chest like 6 times. The dead guy. He's still dead. He's dead, but he shoots him to set up the other guy.
Oh, that's fine. Well,
I thought it got super dark. When
it got dark, I didn't like it.
When he finally clicks.
When he snaps.
He goes like, oh, I'm like, do you want it to remind me of? It reminded me of History of Violence.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh.
When he finally like goes into all out killing machine mode.
Right.
I thought it was fucking awesome when it goes a little bit darker.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all.
I did. I like the silliness. In the first one, there wasn't any death until the very, 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 very end.
I'm sorry, but a man being eaten by a crocodile is pretty fucking silly.
It didn't look silly.
It didn't. You're right.
And I was like, oh, he's still going to make it. Nope.
No.
Yeah, no. He, no.
Rest in peace.
Crocodile.
That's right.
That has nothing to do with the date scene, by the way. They just go out to the ocean and drink beers. But I think it's good because that is the first time that Dalton goes, you don't want to know me. Like, he knows what he is. He's like, you don't want to date me. You don't want to know me. I'm a fucking evil, violent man.
Mm-hmm.
Not evil, but I'm a violent man.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I know who you are, bitch. You're a UFC fighter.
You killed somebody.
Yeah. Let's make out.
He's a violence-aholic.
Yes, yes, absolutely right. That's why I think it's violence begets violence. He is addicted to the violence, but also the violence he commits. Well, it's a circle. He'll always be violent because it always, whatever he does, stirs up more violence, and it goes in one.
His violence solves problems and then creates problems.
Yes, exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's a perfect allegory. Is that the word?
I think so.
Al Gore? Yep. Allegory. Yes, it's. I really like that part of it. I want to stress that even more. I think it's an important kind of commentary on the nature of violence. But it's also a silly film where Conor McGregor gets his ass out. So it's a bit of both. What comes next after the date scene?
Date.
He's being taken by the police. And he meets What's-Her-Face's father.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Me neither.
It wasn't needed.
I would agree. Dumb
character.
I would agree. But I guess, like, because, you know, Frankie mentioned, you know, how the cops were useless.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Yeah. How long have we been going?
We are at 52 minutes.
Mm. Oh, okay. Spicy.
Yeah. So. Sorry. So sorry. I thought I was about to sneeze.
I thought you were getting emotional.
No, I thought I was about to sneeze. But in the beginning, you know, how she talks about, you know, when with these, like, all this trouble that she's having at the roadhouse and the cops aren't helpful. It's because they're working with the bad guys.
Yeah, throw a little bit.
So, you know, so I think so it serves that purpose.
I think you're right. I think it does. It's just I thought it made it a little bit more a little too complex. I just wanted to see Jake Gyllenhaal punching people in the face.
A little too, they put like a bow on it.
Yeah.
He's the cop is the working with the bad guy, but also the dad of the love interest. It's like, all right,
yes,
it doesn't have to be everything.
It's also the interesting thing that initiates Dalton going, okay, the cops are in on it. They've just held me to the ground with a gun to my head. And he actually goes, I'm going to leave town because if I don't, I'm going to kill people. Like, my violence is going to
He's afraid,
and he's gonna. In fact, he says, "You're afraid of them." She says, and he goes, "I am afraid more than you know." It's about himself,
right?
And I think that's the part where he's just like, "Okay, I'm going to escape the potential of me murdering a bunch of people by leaving town," and then of course he doesn't.
And to be honest, I appreciate that element of at least you see, like, even though they're bad guys, you see them in the picture, and then, like, in the end, how he, like, is like, I'll take care of this, but you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And because, like, you know, at least, like, I always, one thing that I, you know, that always annoys me a little bit is, like, if, you know, there's no police, like, those times where there's like no police and all these people like are get
John
like
Wick.
In that world it's okay. But you know, like, but in something like this, or even like in the, there were no cops in the original Roadhouse, right?
No.
Yeah, and there's like people like dying left and right and shit getting shot up and like a bunch of banana shit is going on and like all these bodies are left around and I'm just like, how is this okay? How are you just, yeah, you know, walking off into the sunset with no repercussions after killing a bunch of people? How's that going to work? Oh no, wait a minute. There is some sort of police or sheriff or something at the end of
the cops.
Right. So, but anyway, right. So in that aspect, I appreciate it. Like, okay, so, you know, it's not like, oh, it's totally cool. I've just killed these people. No big deal. At least there's an element of it where there's someone there who'll be like, I'll take care of this for you. Mm. You just got to get out of here and I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then that's really what instigates, oh no, they burned down the bookstore, right? And that's what makes him go, they done goofed.
Yeah.
They could have done that better. Not to nitpick.
I guess.
This is what happens. Gyllenhaal has like one or two lines of dialogue with the dad. And now he's like, they're like blood brothers.
Well, it's the girl, though.
But it wasn't the dad. It was about the daughter.
It's like, hey,
the kid.
The store burnt to the ground and they're in the hospital. He's like, ah, shit. And then you just see them at the end.
I get it.
No. Oh, fuck. I got to go to the hospital. Are they okay? It's just
in an ideal world. And I know this is against what we said at the beginning.
Nitpicking.
In an ideal world, this would be 3 hours long and fill in all the gaps.
Well, yeah, there's no time for that.
One thing we haven't talked about is, what do you think about the fight scenes in this film?
I enjoyed them.
We completely missed the fight scene that Gyllenhaal has with Conor McGregor.
Oh, right. When he first rolls into the roadhouse.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's it. That's all you're going to say about the fight.
It's good stuff. I like the dirty shots. I like Conor McGregor's headbutts and elbows. It's nice.
I love how heavy. This film goes, remember, these days you've got like John Wick and something like Shang-Chi, for example. And it went, you know, what we're gonna do is take the utter slugfests that were 80s fight scenes, and we're gonna bring it into the now. And the fact that these fists, or not fists, these punches look like it would kill me. If they punched me in the face like that, I would die on the spot. But it's so heavy and so meaty. It's like meat on meat. A lot of meat slapping in this film. And it's just don't look at me like that. It's very meaty. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that is. You know?
That's a crocodile.
You know what I mean, though, don't you?
Yeah.
It's when I say meat on meat, it's like it feels thuddy, heavy.
Yeah.
I love the fight scenes in this film.
I would agree.
I love when they go into Dalton's point of view. They change the camera and it's looking through his eyes. I love the throws. I love, everything. This is just great stuff.
I enjoyed them.
I love how bonkers Conor McGregor is. When he tears open the thing, he's just like, like a madman, like a fucking caged animal. The fight scenes are fantastic. And later on, there's some heavy crunches in this fight scene where, I'm jumping ahead a bit, but when Brandt gets slammed into that wooden thing and then his face hits the stone.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Painful stuff.
Oh, one guy gets, these are like just two bar fighters. One guy gets thrown up in the air and does like a somersault and like hits his face on the bar.
Yeah.
Ouch.
They're great. They're really, really good. I wish there was maybe one more fight scene. That's all really. Sorry, I'm just going through my notes again to see. By the way, when the cop gets him and goes, you remind me of that Johnny Cash song.
Boy Named Sue.
She gave his son a girl's name. Is Elwood a girl's name?
Yeah, I didn't really understand that conversation.
I didn't get it either. Dalton and Elwood are not girls' names.
I didn't understand that conversation.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't just me then.
Mm-hmm. L?
No.
Is Elwood short for L?
Conversation didn't make sense.
I did like that line, though, to giving your son a girl's name to make them tough. I was like, that's kind of sick.
Oh!
You know, weirdly, out of this entire film, Conor McGregor delivers my favorite line, where he goes, there's something wrong with you. Me too. I like that. It's cheesy and on the nose, but I like it.
He real respects real. He sees it.
And they're both living embodiments of violence.
They both recognize each other for like the apes that they are, the primal apes that they are.
One gives into it, one's trying to fight it.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, if you had to name, if you named your son a girl's name, so he would be grow up tough, what would it be?
Betty.
That's good. Mine would be Petunia.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. What about yours, Devin?
Leslie.
No, Leslie can be a man's name.
Pretty androgynous.
We're talking about if
it's true.
A girl's true. Name to toughen
right,
up.
Right, right,
really
right,
give
right,
it right. to us.
Give us a bad name.
What's a feminine girl's name, basically?
Carol.
That's pretty. Well, are there Carols? Men that are Carols?
So?
Okay.
Carols, I don't know why Carols are funny name. I don't know why. Carol's funny.
You'd be like, all right, Carol, and then a guy comes in.
Carol's a good name. Yeah. Petunia. No one's called Petunia these days, though, are they?
No, that's why it's great.
I don't think so.
True, true. I don't know why I'm still laughing at Carol. So let's fast forward a little bit. Fight scenes, blah, blah, blah. Then we get basically onto the boat. Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So the cop says, I'm going to go ahead and take care of all this. Where's the money? Blah, blah, blah. He takes Dalton to the boat where the main villain is. The main villain reveals that he's kidnapped Ellie, Ali, whichever one it is. And Dalton goes, well, blows up his boat, which we're not even going to get into whose boat that is. But that's kind of, it's kind of funny. I kind of like that. And then there's a big scrap.
Yeah.
And there's good stuff. I liked that entire boat scene. It's very chaotic.
Yes.
From the explosion to him like waking up and like realizing like having to fight his way out of the boat when he's absolutely like shook by the explosion.
Right.
Then when he goes down into the water and all that shit, I think it's really, really chaotic and really good. When he holds that guy up to get hit by the boat, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I was expecting blood in the water.
Yeah, I think they kind of toned that down a little bit.
Oh, which, I guess so.
Yeah. This film should be a bit bloodier than
this. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Because they put him in a friggin' food processor, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then there's just a solid boat chase scene.
Yep.
There's just a good chase scene. Conor McGregor or Knox.
We're in an octagon. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Can I just give a shout out to Rodney? This is kind of a very inside baseball thing. But Rodney, who I've just done a video for the YouTube channel, talked to him about kung fu films for like an hour and a half. So go ahead and check that out. But Rodney said it's really, really funny because he goes, we got our own personal octagon. And he goes, who taught you shapes? And Rodney obviously took that as who taught you shapes. Shapes meaning old school kung fu, blah, blah, blah. I know that's very inside baseball, but I did appreciate that.
Nerd.
Yeah, we are nerds. Yeah, you get a good chase. They get to the roadhouse.
The guy flies into the.
I 100% was like, oh, he's totally dead.
100% dead.
So yeah. Brent. He's in a boat. Obviously, it hits a reef. He goes flying into the air and lands on the roof of the. Yes,
I'll take that.
And lands on the roof of the roadhouse. But yeah, like the force. He went flying 100%. You know, if he wasn't dead, then at least like multiple bones are broken.
I thought he was gonna get like impaled or something.
Yeah,
but he doesn't.
But nope, he's all right.
Also,
and then a leprechaun comes.
Yeah, death. He got let off pretty.
My dude,
he did.
Worst part of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, just with a neck snap, man.
Yeah.
The camera wasn't even focused on him really.
No.
Terrible.
I guess in that point it wasn't about him anymore.
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
So I think it was just like who cares about you?
It's about these two meaty men. Just I keep saying meaty. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. It's about these two guys just like beating the shit out of each other, and he was just an afterthought. Yeah. But he deserves something grim.
Right now, right now.
To it. Then we get the final Knox versus Dalton fight.
Yep.
And it's solid stuff. It's the only time you'll see Conor McGregor escape a chokehold. Am I right? Yeah, buddy.
That's good. I smash your face. I will smash you. That's Khabib.
Oh, Khabib.
You want to talk? Let's talk now. That's what he says to him in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Why are you not talking? I smash you. All right.
I love shit talking from people who don't speak the greatest English.
My one of my favorite quotes Khabib says is, "This is number one bullshit." The best.
Great scrap, solid, lots of solid hits, lots of nasty blows, good stuff. And then it goes a bit grim because Dalton gets stabbed.
Yep.
And the way he takes out Knox, I fucking love.
Yep.
I love that.
I thought it was great too.
He just goes ham sandwich.
He takes the knife, the blade out, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stick out of him right. as a weapon. I didn't really think about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't think
he's like, I have no offense. I have no tools. And he goes, oh, here's one.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Someone does that in another film that recently came out.
Ghostbusters.
And it's still in theaters.
Oppenheimer.
Well, someone takes a knife out of them in Oppenheimer and stabs another guy.
What was it?
Go on, you can do it.
Oh, man.
Actually, don't. It's a spoiler.
Wait, it's at the movie? It's at the theaters right now?
It's a huge spoiler, so don't do it.
We just went and saw it, didn't we?
Sure did. And you still don't know the film, do you?
Why am I blanking on the movies that we've seen recently?
Don't worry about it. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you later. Besides, it's a massive spoiler. So, yeah, he takes out. And then Gyllenhaal just starts.
Oh, I remember now.
Stabbing the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And,
And he got that fucking pot of gold from him.
Rest in peace, Knox. He got his lucky charms.
That's right. That was better. Yeah. That was better.
Kills him. Kills him? Question mark. And then there's a brilliant ending where you think he's going to live happily ever after with Ellie Alley, and he doesn't.
Nope. He hops on a bus and fucks off out of town.
There's a brilliant thing at the end where they're talking about the Western. And Charlie says to him, because there's two ways for a Western to end. The guy, the hero can ride off into the sunset, or the hero can find like his homestead and like build a life for himself. Mm-hmm. There is a third ending to the Western, which could have happened in this film.
Oh, right. The good guy dies.
The good guy dies at the end. And I love that. Because I love that at the beginning, if you're kind of into the whole Western theme of this film, then the idea is, oh, he might die at the end. But the third, it doesn't come true. And he actually rides off into the sunset and to the sunset on a bus.
Yep.
And the film ends like with him just going off into nowhere and just becoming essentially fucking Jack Reacher.
Probably
setting same thing as before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. He is. I'm going to say the wrong one, but I'm going to try. Sisyphus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Pushing the boulder.
Yeah, I'm pushing. I get Sisyphus and the other guy confused.
I get the one who stole fire confused.
Yeah, Prometheus.
Prometheus.
Oh, that's Prometheus. Oh, yeah.
Wait, Prometheus stole the fire.
Icarus flies too close to the sun.
And one guy has to push a boulder up a hill all day. That's, and one guy gets his guts eaten by a vulture every day.
That's the guy who stole fire. Because he gets his guts eaten because he stole fire.
Oh. Who pushes a rock up the hill
that's
forever?
Sisyphus.
He pushes a rock up a hill and gets his guts eaten?
No.
No, this is a different person.
Pushes the rock up the hill, it goes down the hill. Pushes the rock up the hill, it goes down. He's infinite. That's why I'm saying he's Sisyphus. The violence has. It's the same situation over and over. Sisyphus, Prometheus, Icarus, and Idris Elba.
That was good. I was trying so hard and you just got it. That's good.
Okay, that's the end of the film. Like we said, you liked it. You loved it.
I very much enjoyed it.
Really, really enjoyed it. And to be honest, I'll go on record saying so far it's one of the best films I've seen this year.
Jeez Louise.
Big old two thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Listener questions, baby.
Listener questions, baby. Let's go on to these.
Here, real quick. Just rapid fire.
Yeah.
You know the bouncer that was there when he showed up? The younger guy?
Yeah, we didn't talk about him.
He wasn't necessarily a bouncer. I think his job was a bartender, but he would just, help.
Maybe I'm reading into it too hard. But in the first movie, remember that bartender who got fired for being a bad bartender skimming tips?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The lady says he tried it as a bartender, but he wasn't a good bartender.
Oh, you think?
I think.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Maybe. All right. Comic Handlings. He asks, since Roadhouse is about a bouncer, what's the weirdest or wildest encounter you've ever had with a bouncer?
Never had one.
No, you've never had one, have you?
I don't know if this was a bouncer or if this was just in the 1 year that I spent away from home in college. Admittedly, of course, we were underage, so we drank in the dorms and then went down to the club. And I drank a little too much, and I was kind of hovering near this big trash can. because I felt sick. I didn't vomit or anything, but I felt sick. But someone who worked there, I guess, saw me and was just like, you need to go. And so I had to leave.
Push away from a trash can. That's fucked up.
Yeah. I wasn't being sick or anything. I was just hovering near it. I guess I appeared drunk and being underage.
Loitering.
Yeah, and being underage. They were just like, I don't think so.
Oh, that
so,
makes sense. If you're drunk and underage, yeah it's time
and
to
so then I had to leave.
Underage drink.
But yeah, I don't know if it was a bouncer or not. But
terrible.
Yeah.
Cyrus, you ever had any run-ins with a bouncer type?
I will eliminate about 80% of this story because I can't say it.
Okay.
But I'll tell you the part I can say.
I think I know this story, but go ahead.
My friends and I were in Japan.
I know this story.
All right. And we went to a bar. Just a bar. Just a bar. Okay?
Okay.
People were just normal people were there.
Got it.
We were just drinking like normal people.
Okay.
It wasn't a strip club.
Okay. Got it.
And something went wrong and a bunch of African gentlemen kicked us out.
All right.
Were they bouncers? Did they work there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I can say.
I love how you say something went wrong. I know what went wrong.
No one got hurt. Just our egos.
Got it.
I have a similar tale where I was also at a strip club.
I wasn't at a strip club. That's what I said.
Oh, sorry. You weren't at the strip club. I was at a strip club. And I drank a little too much. And me and my friends thought it would be a wise idea to reap the benefits of being in the old strip club. And being young, I don't know if we were underage, but we were probably around 18. Being young and stupid and having like no money in our bank accounts, but having enough to pretend to flex in a strip club, some of us decided to get two girls at once. One of my other friends, who will remain nameless, a girl went up to him, a stripper, and said, do you want a lap dance? He said, yes, ma'am, I want a lap dance. They went to the back room. She started giving him a lap dance. The thing is, when you get a lap dance, when the song ends, the lap dance is over. This girl danced for him. Next song comes on and she goes, do you want me to continue to dance? And he was just like, yeah, sure, of course I do. Not realizing that means, are you going to pay me for the next dance? He did this about 6 times. She gave him a very, very long lap dance. And when he came to pay, he didn't have the money at all. I don't even think he had half the money. And the bouncer came up. This is the craziest thing a bouncer's ever done with us. He grabbed my friend. Not only did he throw him out of the strip club, he grabbed him, marched him to an ATM, robbed my friend, made him take out the money from the ATM, made him give him the money. So he did that, which was kind of crazy. With that happening, we ended up getting thrown out of the strip club because he couldn't pay. I was having a whale of a time. I had plenty of money. And he got thrown out, so the rest of us got thrown out. And as another friend, walked out, he said like some, I don't know, he was drunk. He probably cursed or said something mean or something. This female bouncer comes out of nowhere and just fucking smacks him in the chin. Full on swing at my friend.
Whoa.
Cracks him. He didn't even fucking move. It wasn't a good hit at all because she was about this tall, but she was built like a bulldog. And she smacked him. And then he, knowing that she's got a lot of big bouncer friends behind her, he ran away.
Wise.
Yeah, wise decision.
Got a taxi and we went home.
All right.
That's my experience. Okay, next question from Comic Candlelights. If you were to make a top 250 movies of all time list, what would be the oldest film on that list? And what would be the newest film on that list?
Probably something from Clint Eastwood would probably be on.
Okay, so you're looking at the 60s. Like The Good, Bad, the Ugly or something. Probably. 60s, right? Okay, what would be the newest film? You haven't watched a ton of new films.
Roadhouse, maybe.
Okay.
Let me think.
Have you got them?
Yes.
Oldest film.
So when you, Sean was kind enough to give me this question in advance because that was definitely something I have to think about. The first thing that popped into my head as oldest was All About Eve. Very, very good film.
What year?
So I thought that film was older. That film was made in 1950. So ooh. Then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Then I was like, wait a second. When was The Wizard of Oz made? That motherfucker was 1939. So, oldest would be The Wizard of Oz, because I love The Wizard of Oz.
That would be on your top 250.
100%.
Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. That's pretty good, especially for a super old one.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz.
Fucking Jungle Book's old as fuck.
What are you talking about? No, it's not. Wizard of Oz is great. Well, shove it up your butt.
I don't love it. I don't know why I don't love it. I know everyone loves Wizard of Oz. I just don't care for it. I think you're absolutely right. Like, it's a classic film. For some reason, I just don't like it.
I loved it as a kid.
No, rightfully so. I think it's great. You're absolutely right.
And newest would be Dune Part 2.
You stole my newest.
Well, of course. I knew that you would pick that too.
Yeah, the newest film would be Dune 2 for me. And honestly, I struggled with older films.
You don't really.
The only one I could come up with was Singing in the Rain.
Year was that?
1954.
Yeah, Singing in the Rain is great.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my oldest, like, 5-star films. I also like a few Marilyn Monroe ones that we've watched, but I don't think they're older. And I think you were right to go in the right direction, thinking of animations like Jungle Book or Snow White being like the 30s or something.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't think of an older animation that I truly would label one of my favorites.
That's kind of the first ones.
Yeah, Cinderella. I very much loved Cinderella. Cinderella.
That's true. What year was Cinderella?
Oh, I don't know. Cinderella, Pinocchio.
See, I don't love Pinocchio.
Oh, you're gonna suck on it. Oh.
Yeah.
Jungle Book is a good one.
Jungle Book's a really good one.
I don't know the year.
Fucking Bare Necessities? Are you kidding me right now? There's tubas in that all day long, baby. I know the tuba solo. Not, I can't play it, but I can sing it.
Sorry, I'm just trying to look up Cinderella.
Struggling?
What would be your oldest one? Jungle Book?
And your strife. Ba-doot, ba-doot, doo.
I think the Jungle Book.
Sure, why not?
Well, yeah, you'd struggle with the newest one, right? Yeah, Cinderella was only 1950.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah. I think Snow White was the first one.
I'll just say the most recent movie I saw, because I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
I watched Elemental.
1937.
Oh, yeah.
Elemental? Oh, how is that?
It is fine.
Oh, okay.
I would not. Honestly, it's just one step below recommending it. It's like like we've already been here.
I hope that one would be good.
Just fine. Okay. Fire and water like each other. Oh my god. We're breaking new ground.
That's the animated.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Why, Pixar haven't done anything good lately, have they?
It's been a bit, hasn't it? It's
been a while.
Yeah. They're resting on their laurels.
Yeah. All right. Rama says, which current actor or actresses, he says, feels like actors covers actresses these days, just in case.
Yes.
If they were active in the 80s, would have fit right in. So which current actor?
Conor McGregor.
'80s looks at. He gives us a good one, which I honestly didn't think was great initially until I said, oh, if this person was in Ferris Bueller, it would work perfectly. He said Tom Holland.
I could 100% see that.
It definitely worked. I wasn't fully convinced initially, but yeah.
Yeah.
So which one did you say, Devin?
I thought Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh?
I think so. I can see her in 80s films.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis.
That dude? That was Butler. A good one.
Austin he could be Butler. The bad guy in Breakfast Club.
He could be...
Not the bad guy.
Yeah, I was about to say,
The bad boy.
The bad boy.
Yeah.
He could also be like a heartthrob from an 80s film. Like, oh, that's really good. Austin Butler's a really good one.
Yeah.
I could cheat and say Brad Pitt. Because he's
already old enough.
He already did that.
Yeah, he's old enough.
Already in he was in 80s.
Yeah, no.
Who would I pick?
Johnny Depp.
He's...
Another one.
Yeah.
Idris Elba.
We're thinking... he was a young star.
Got it. 100%. This is the top number one. Ryan Gosling.
See,
he would have been in every 80s movie ever made.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so?
He would have been the bad guy in fucking Karate Kid.
But on the same thing, Ryan Reynolds could have been like the wisecracking buddy.
The best friend. Yeah.
I think he would work pretty well.
He's too handsome. For that time. The tropes were harder back then.
Okay. You know who I don't see being an 80s guy?
Who?
Timothy Chalamet.
doesn't work.
Yeah, me neither. 100%.
Vibe.
He could be the emo girl in Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what would have been a great emo girl in the film? Do you remember? She wasn't emo girl in the film. Firouza Balk.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, The Craft.
She was in The Craft. I don't know. She was
the evil one with the big smile.
Yeah. She looked like the Joker.
No. Kraft Mac and Cheese?
Waterboy. His girlfriend in The Waterboy.
That's her name?
Firouza Balk.
Yeah.
She's hot as hell.
She's got big mouth.
Big mouth on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. She would make a great 80s goth chick.
She's old enough, though, so I don't think she counts.
Vicky Valancourt.
Nice.
Damn right.
All right.
Well, she likes a man with stinky feet. You know what I mean?
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Men's feet are supposed to stink, she says. Take it away.
Yeah. One last one. I think she could pull off like the girl next door that maybe like isn't traditionally pretty, but eventually becomes pretty, even though she is pretty. I think Brie Larson could do something.
Yeah.
I think she could be in
I could see that.
80s.
So. I could see that.
Brie Larson.
Also, shout out to Scarlett her. Johansson could have done it.
Maybe. She's got too much of a bombshell look, though. They didn't have too many bombshells back then.
You think bombshell?
Yeah, they had.
Like a bombshell in Lost in Translation. I know she's 17. Creepy.
Yeah.
But she...
They were bombshells.
A bombshell to me is like more of a 50s look, though. She'd go back.
Well, I think.
Marilyn Manson.
The bombshells, the body type was different.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
A little thicker is what you're saying.
A little thicker.
Okay.
got some meat on it. Martial Arts Film Freak. These last three questions, we'll whiz through these. You're packing for a trip in which you will be gone for 6 days.
Oh,
how many pairs of underwear and socks are you taking, my man? I struggle with this dilemma every time and resort to overpacking those items out of fear.
Always overpack underwear.
Always.
For the year.
Always.
That's a goddamn
and socks. Lady. A nice pair of unstinky socks. They're nice.
They are nice.
So for me, it all depends on where we're going. So typically, if we're traveling somewhere, we're traveling during the warmer months of the year, and we're going to shop. Right. So I don't pack very many. But I don't pack very many because I'll be living in my flip-flops. But 100%, always pack, like, overpack underwear.
Yeah.
You know, when you're... It's this maybe too deep.
I've always got overpacked underwear. You know what I'm
saying? That's
pretty good. Not bad.
That's not bad.
I thought it was quite good.
I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
There's something. Okay, you're in an unfamiliar area. Your schedule's all messed up. Let's say you're even overseas, right? Let's say you're wet for some reason or sweaty or you got out of the pool. A nice pair of underpants just makes you happy and comfortable.
Two for each day.
Two for each day. That's a good one.
I've never been like, well, I've packed too much underpants.
Also, let's all be honest with each other. You don't know what the food's like. You could have some
a lot food. Of stress.
You could be out. There's stress. Next thing you know, you've done something.
That's not where my mind's going. My mind is going, you know, is is 100% swimming. So like, if you know, we get up, we might do some sort of, we might go to breakfast or whatever, and then you know, go swimming, and then shower, and then you're putting on another pair of underwear.
You know what else though? You don't want sand in your underpants. What if you go to the beach? You get a sandy pantage.
Two for each day.
You got to change them. Two for each day. I like it. Mm-hmm. 6 days, 12 pairs.
That's right.
And you know what I do just to make sure that there's no unnecessary leaks? Is I bring a cork with me.
You're an idiot.
I bring one.
You're an idiot.
And then we're good.
You never know. In a foreign land, you may be able to barter underwear for some goods.
Just for hair, for human hair. But I'll tell you, lots of time people travel. It's not 6 days. People travel for weddings.
Yes.
When you're on the dance floor boogalooing.
Oh yeah.
You just came out of the ocean.
Oh yeah.
Everything is. You could be wrung out.
Yeah, especially if you've got layers on. You got a waistcoat. You got a bow tie.
I got a 3-piece suit, baby.
What? Oh, you're sopping. Fucking swamp thing over here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No good. Cyrus.
That's what they call me.
Open-toed flip-flops at the gym. Acceptable or hate crime?
What?
That's,
why would you do that?
What's it called when you do, like, a war crime?
It's called
a war crime.
What's the other one?
A crime against humanity.
Yeah. That, why
would anyone do that?
Oh, I bet people going flip-flops.
Flip-flops to the gym.
Probably.
War crime.
You don't like that.
You should be, get on the ground. Get on the ground, idiot. Yeah,
that's insanity.
How do you feel about ladies that go in particularly tight, buttock clinging yoga pants, but to the point where it's just like revealing a little too much? Do you think like, oh, that's distracting, they shouldn't wear that?
Yeah. I'm going to look at you. That's there's nothing else to do at the gym. I'm going to look at your butt cheeks.
There's a lot of videos at the moment of influencers filming themselves in the gym, ladies.
And being like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
Your butt cheeks, man. Obviously.
Devin, as a lady, if you knew for a fact that you were wearing some, let's say a revealing toppage, that reveals some chesticles, right?
Everything's leaking out.
But yeah, you were doing it on purpose. You were like, I'm going to wear my most cleavage revealing top. Would you then be offended that men are looking at you? Or would you be like, oh, this is natural. This just happens.
I don't think so, because if you're doing it on purpose, like if I'm choosing clothes to wear, or if I'm choosing clothes to buy for the gym, I'm not choosing things to wear my tits are spilling out. Do you know what I mean?
You just said the T word.
Yeah, sorry.
Hit me like a brief and,
hit me and, like a bag of tits.
That's right.
And maybe God. And yeah, so that's not my particular style.
No, that's definitely not your style.
But
you prefer camel toe.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know. Like I wouldn't.
You said tits, so you had to come back with something.
But then I suppose, you know, any woman should be free to wear whatever they want in public and not worry about
being, the male gaze. Oh
yeah,
disgusting.
About being harassed or stared at. So yeah, I mean,
dude,
yeah.
If you're at the gym and you have little circles on your nips and like a little patch on your vagina, you're like clothed, right? If I'm looking at you, I'm cool. Well, I'm impressive.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm the bad guy.
No.
I get it. It's creepy. Just get a couple looks in, like a normal person, and then move on. But
don't stare.
There's still that debate to be had, though, that males do look at ladies in under much worse situations than that. A woman can be in a pea coat and fucking baggy slacks, and you'd be like, oh, look at her butt.
Look at those buttons.
Yeah, exactly. We do that. You know, that's a male thing that we do ogle ladies.
Hey, I think I got ogled by a gay man the other day.
Excuse?
Yeah.
A gay man?
I was at your gym. We haven't been going to the gym. Putting on some Chef Boyardee's over here. I was leaving.
Chef Boyardee's nuts.
He's nuts, yeah. I don't know, maybe I saw him. He was lithe, well groomed.
As they are.
Fresh off the subway. Fresh
off the boat.
And fresh off the boat. I swear I got him.
Like a, huh? A double take.
And then
good God.
I swear. I saw the eyes look down at my package. And he went, that's
he went, hello, nurse.
He went, Dalton. Dalton.
Well, that's aggressive. To do a double take?
He didn't go, he just went, oh, guy. And then he went, what's going on?
You were in the gym?
Walking back. So I was popped up.
You had no pants on, right?
Yeah, dude. I was Conor McGregor.
Oh, that's, yeah. I don't know if I'd notice if a gay man checked me out.
I don't know. Who came up with the gay man? Because I hope I did.
No, I did last
you
week.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
I swear to you. And when jokes are done.
You're going to be wrong. You think my postman followed your joke and it didn't.
Now let me explain.
Okay.
I've been saying Gaiman. I say Neil Gaiman. That's my thing. Okay. I've been saying Gaiman in my head for maybe years now.
Okay.
I just haven't come out and said it. Yeah. That I'm a Gaiman. I haven't come out as a Gaiman, yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, okay.
The Gaiman Islands.
Well, it doesn't work. You're not the king of a joke unless you say that joke. And last week I said it. So get the fuck out.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I wouldn't steal a joke.
No, of course not.
Ever.
Of course not.
So I still feel like I'm the gaming king.
Sure, you can be king of the gamings.
Thanks.
Last question, which is for me from Martial Arts Film Freak. I know you're not the biggest Star Wars fan. Joe, that's not true. That's
that's a bloody lie.
That's a goddamn lie.
That's a garbage
heresy.
Actually, he says you're not the biggest Star Wars fan. I'm definitely not the biggest Star Wars fan.
But I'm a bigger Star Wars fan than you are. I think I might be.
A bigger Star Wars fan than me?
Like lore.
Mayhaps, but I like Star Wars.
Wait a minute. How many of them have you watched?
Oh, I haven't watched like Andor and like all those movies. Oh, that I'm a big bullshit.
Wait, but you've seen the movies. All of the movies.
What did you say to me?
Then I'm a bigger fan than you.
No, you're not.
I've seen Andor.
I'm talking about the OGs.
Oh, what? New Hope? Empire?
Yeah, all those. I saw those when I was like very,
but wait,
very kid.
But you've seen, but you're up to date on all of the films. Have you seen all of the films?
Rogue One, yeah.
Jedi. Last Jedi?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's so bad.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
I've seen all the big ones, yeah.
Rogue One?
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, he just said Rogue One.
Just testing you.
Okay.
By the way, if this makes me even less of a Star Wars fan than you think I am, I don't care. Rogue One, best Star Wars film.
You just can't say that, though.
I'm saying that. It's better than Empire Strikes Back.
That can't be said.
I just said it.
You said something, but all I heard was...
All you heard was Dalton.
All I heard was...
Honestly, I think Rogue One's the best. Now, I do love the originals. I also enjoy some of the series. I thought Andor was fucking incredible. I thought it was an amazing show.
I didn't watch Tentacle Head either. Lothario Dawson.
Oh, you didn't?
That was good. That was good.
Ahsoka.
What's her name? Hare Krishna? Well,
Ahsoka these nuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ahsoka was good.
Ahsoka was good as well. Obi-Wan was actually quite good. I quite enjoyed Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, The Mandalorian's growing a bit tired on me. I still like it, but I'm going a bit tired of it. Besides, they got rid of my favorite actress.
Is Go-Gurt still in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just really had to get that one out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I want to see him use more of the Force. That's what I'm waiting for.
Who, Grogu?
Yeah.
Okay.
For him to let it loose.
Yeah, what's the next TV show that's coming? Oh, the Acolyte. That looks really good.
Yeah,
that Kung does. Fu in that.
Mm-hmm.
Got Carrie Ann Moss from the Matrix films doing Jedi Kung Fu.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Trinity.
Yes.
That's her. The Holy.
I'm not okay. I just say words.
This has been a messy episode.
Crocodile. The alligator.
We've both been saying like side jokes when people are talking.
Oh,
and the
God.
Weird thing is that people, the person will continue to talk and just in the background will just whisper something and they'll continue. And I wonder that on the episode, people will be like, why did he just say that word?
Yeah.
Yeah. I made a Prince noise and I went, chooing. No one understands what that is because it's an inside joke between us.
Hey, fun noises are fun noises.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I do weird, I take that, which is the thing, and I just go like, ee! Like, makes no sense.
That's true.
Chewy! Like, this, not a thing.
Should I ask this question now?
Yeah.
I know you're not the biggest Star Wars fan. By the way, that isn't true. No, just kidding. But where do the Darth Maul fight scene from Episode 1 or Obi-Wan versus Anakin in Episode 3 sit with you as weapon fights? Well, I'll tell you what. I love the Darth Maul fight. I love it. I love, as far as lightsaber fights go, now don't get me wrong, it's not as good as like fucking Odd Couple or something like that, but as far as lightsaber fights go, I would argue that the Darth Maul versus Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan, I think it's the best Star Wars fight. Oh, any of them.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I don't think even any of the modern series have done Star Wars fights that's good. I mean, it does help that they added like the wushu element in. I even like fucking
do it. Do it.
I'm gonna try his name, but
General Grievous?
No. I like Count Dooku.
Yeah.
That's against great. Yoda.
Fucking everybody, yeah.
Yeah. Even though Yoda is like totally CGI and shouldn't look like that. The fight's cool as hell. So I really like episode 1, 2, and 3. I really like the lightsaber fights in them. Granted, it's probably the one thing that they do better than the others. I don't think they do anything else better than the others, but you know, it's good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you know who Samuel L. Jackson plays?
Mace Windu.
There you go.
It's good. He is a fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Ready?
Just checking. All right, we're going to wrap this up. By the way, like I said earlier, we have a Patreon.
That we do.
patreon.com/foodforthought. And if you are a patron, you get to vote on, for example, you get to vote on what movie we do next. And guess what? They bloody voted. And they voted on a little-known Shaw Brothers film called Shaolin Intruders. Okay. So we'll be doing Shaolin Intruders, and then following that, we'll be doing The Sword, which is a 1980-something Wuxia film, which will be, I think, our second Adam Cheng film. So looking forward to that one. But I will read out the names of our patrons because they are beautiful people.
Our beautiful patron.
Beautiful, beautiful. here they are. So I think I removed the one that left us. Terrible person. Also, by the way, if you join Patreon, it's only a few dollars a month and you actually get episodes of Food for Thought Uncut, which is not these episodes extended. It's an entirely different episode that we record before this episode where we talk about everything and anything. And they're usually a bit more off the rails. And we recorded one earlier. And you also get, like, sometimes I do Blu-ray collection updates. You get to vote on one film that we do probably, like, every month or so. And you're going to get another commentary soon. We do commentary tracks on there. So far, we've done Paranormal Activity, Over the Top, and Roadhouse. And I don't know. We tried to do Super Mario Brothers, but we couldn't find it. So I don't know what the next film should be.
Hey, if you have Super Mario Brothers and you don't want it, send it our way.
If you have the Bob
watch it
in Super Mario Brothers, I'll even go one step further. If you have like a file you can send to me of Super Mario Brothers, like an MP4, I shouldn't be saying this. I think that's illegal, but you know, don't do that or anything.
Don't send it to us.
And our beautiful patrons are Miles Alpha Rookie, Nick Martin, Nicholas, oh, Miles Bell, I should say his full name, Nicholas Planchard, Amok Pal, Rama, Disconnected, Tristan, that's Martial Arts Film Freak, baby, Robert Christiansen, who actually, I love the name Christiansen. I don't know why. I think that's a nice, I think it flows off the tongue nice. Robert Christiansen. I like that. Shut up. Article Dropout, shout out to them. Eloquent, James Glennie, Don Jitsu, Tina, and Benjamin.
Hell yeah.
Dyson.
Benjamin.
Shout out to him. Shout out to all of those people. Thank you for being patrons. We really, really appreciate it. We love you lots. And if you want to join us, come along. We can chat. We can talk. One day I might, if I get enough patrons, I might set up my own Discord. But we will see.
Oh my God. Yeah. Fucking Hollywood over here.
That's, right. That's in the future. So, Shaolin Intruders next episode. I think that's all we've got to say.
I think so.
How long was this episode? It was too long, wasn't it?
137.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
Okay.
I think we have a lot to talk about in this film. I think maybe in future films it'll even be shorter. Let's try.
We went off on a lot of tangents.
Let's try and get it down to 1:15 next time.
Okay, we'll see.
And then eventually we'll get it down to 10 minutes. It'll just be me reading the patrons. All right, thank you very much. Oh, by the way, fucking YouTube, bloody subscribe, will you?
Yeah,
subscribe
to the channel. Like,
God damn it.
Subscribe, do all that good stuff. We really, really appreciate it. I have various goings on YouTube. I have this, which is the podcast with these two geezers,
Fight Bites,
and then I have Fight Bites, which we're going to do very, very soon. Fight Bites is when I sit down with someone, maybe from the
we should do that tomorrow.
All right, we'll record one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sometimes I sit down with someone from the Kung Fu cinema community. Sometimes I sit down with this one, and we just talk about a specific fight scene. Yeah, I usually introduce Devon to a fight scene she hasn't seen before, and she has to chat it up. Probably tomorrow, we're going to watch two weapons fight scenes and then compare them both.
Yeah, and if we do end up doing that tomorrow, then you'll see, probably, you'll also see our cat in the way.
An added bonus. I also do Kung Fu Stations, where I sit down with someone from the martial arts cinema community or the martial arts community, and we have a long form interview about how they got into it, their favorites, all that good stuff. Again, I just interviewed Rodney Dennis, who's an absolute legend in the community. His episode was fantastic, so go ahead and check that out. It's one of our more popular videos, I will say that. And on that note, thank you very much. Take care, and we will catch you
next time.
Yeah, buddy.